Our meditation is entitled, When the Roof Tumbles In, What Then? Our text, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, speak to us, and grant that we will have ears to hear, hearts to respond. For Christ's sake, we ask. Amen. Some 5 years ago, a staphylococcus germ got in my bloodstream in some unknown fashion and set up a nest in my spine between my shoulder blades. The surgery resulted in an infection, and I went to the operating room 5 or 6 times in an effort to deal with the problem. I ended up with what's called Harrington rods in my spine. I think I might have died back then had not your prayers sustained me. And one Sunday afternoon, hundreds of you came for a special prayer time, and I appreciate that. 2 years later, I was operated on for prostate cancer. When they got in, they discovered that it was already into the lymph system and was loose in my body. The anticipation was that at some point it would break out again. Last fall, I underwent an experimental procedure for the reoccurrence of that prostate, which was highly successful, and incidentally, I was the first person in the world to have that particular procedure done to me. And it is now, a few months later, a standard procedure being used. Recently, I began to have some pain in my back. After a great deal of examinations, the doctors decided that perhaps those rods had come loose and it was necessary to remove them. I was scheduled for surgery late one afternoon, and that morning in a routine pre-op X-ray, they discovered something. When they got in, they found that it was a tumor, and a biopsy showed that it was malignant. This tumor in my chest was treated with X-ray therapy, and I finished that some time ago. The pain is gone, and I'm doing well. More recently, however, I began to have some additional problems and began to lose some peripheral vision on my left side. I was having some difficulty reading and had 2 minor accidents on the left side of my car, not involving anyone else, fortunately. As a matter of fact, while I was in Detroit at a meeting 2 weeks ago, Sydney became concerned about my symptoms and talked to the doctor on the phone. He ordered me to stop driving and predicted that I now had a tumor on the back right of the brain here, affecting my vision on the left side. Subsequent tests proved this to be a correct diagnosis. Day after tomorrow, Tuesday, I will go in for the removal of this tumor. The conjecture is that it is not a spinoff from the prostate, but from the tumor in the chest. This brain tumor is located on the surface of the brain, and the doctors predict that it will be readily removed, and that probably I will regain at least a portion of my peripheral vision on the left. However, all of my children have come home this weekend, and we're having a wonderful family reunion. I've wondered how much I ought to share with you, since all of us tend to jump to conclusions about things like cancer and begin to make our own amateur prognoses about the future. And I wasn't just how sure I wanted to be the object of your prognosis for me. However, I've decided to be as open and as honest with you as possible and to give you as much information as I myself have. I will be operated Tuesday morning early. I will be in the hospital 5 or 6 days following surgery. And I covet your prayers beginning now. And I appreciate the cards and notes that I have been receiving from you all along. Afterwards, there will be several weeks of recuperation. Once the pathology of the tumor is determined, the doctors will decide what further steps are to be taken. It may be that they will want to radiate the area where the tumor is now located. It may also be true that in order to avoid further tumors, they will do what is called whole brain radiation. In any case, should that happen, I will lose all of my hair, at least what's already left. I've been thinking maybe to try a blonde Nordic wig. I've often wondered how I'd look as a blonde. Or maybe I could get a bright red one to match Sydney. Or maybe I'll just stay bald with a Yul Brynner look and play King Jesus and I. There are lots of possibilities. At this point in time, it's too early to know if the doctors will want to do further treatment, such as chemotherapy as well. Also, it's too early for me to know how much I will be willing to undergo. I believe there comes a time when the quantity of life, the length of life, is not justified by the quality of life. And I think when I reach that point, I will know it. Let me say a word about longevity. Obviously, my time is shortened. But on the other hand, I am not in any immediate danger of dying. Hopefully, I will have many, many months of good and useful life lived on a reasonably normal level. First, let me say how I would like for you to relate to me during this period. Please treat me as normally as you can. I will covet your prayers, your love, and your concern for both Sydney and me, but I would like for our relationship to be as normal as possible. Last week, I was at the General Assembly, and one of my colleagues in the ministry, who apparently had heard I was having some health problems, came up to me and said, "What are you doing here?" And I was nonplussed. I thought, well, it's the General Assembly. I'm supposed to be here, and everybody has to be somewhere. So here I am. Do not be afraid to ask me questions about my condition. Do not be concerned to ask me how I feel about it. Death is a perfectly normal part of life, and we need to treat our own death as it approaches as the very ordinary event that it is. I will always be willing to talk with you about my faith, and if you have concerns about yourself, I will be delighted to share with you how I'm keeping this in perspective and how I hope I am handling it. Second, let me say a word about my ministry. Frankly, I think for a period of time in the immediate foreseeable future, I will be able to continue my duties on a regular basis and hopefully for some time to come. I believe it would be very bad for me to suddenly stop work as long as I feel okay and am able to do a good job. When the time comes that I can no longer function, I think I will know it. And certainly there will be those who love me enough to tell me when it's time to stop. But in the meantime, I hope to continue to fulfill the ministry to which God has called me. At the moment, I feel very well. It's hard to believe that this has happened. I played 9 holes of golf Friday, and Sydney and I went dancing last night. So I don't feel ill. God has called me to this ministry, and I want to continue to fulfill it as long as I am able. Thirdly, let me say a word about your ministry. God has called you and other members of this congregation to service, to witness, to ministry. It's not my ministry. It's not your ministry. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ, for He is the one who has given it to us. Therefore, while ministers come and go, the ministry goes on. Central Presbyterian Church is not Andy Jumper's ministry. It is not Andy Jumper's church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And our responsibility, our duty, our joy is to serve Him in ministry here. For that reason, everything must move forward. Committees keep working. Ministries keep functioning. Teachers keep teaching. Deacons keep deaking. Elders keep elding. Plans keep going. Doing the work of the church. At the General Assembly last week, somebody quoted Lee Iacocca as saying this: "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." And that is profound. What is the main thing here? The main thing is our outreach for Jesus Christ. The main thing is to touch lives for Jesus Christ. So the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the work goes on. I hope that makes sense to you. Central has been here almost 150 years. During that period of time, a lot of people have come and gone, and a lot of preachers have come and gone. But the main thing is still the main thing, and we need to keep on doing the main thing. Right now, the Long Range Planning Committee is planning to make a recommendation to the session about our future in terms of a building program, about putting a building right out there. And I tell you the truth, I would feel I have failed you and myself and the Lord if it was decided that because of my illness we should stop. That's foolish. There will be others God raises up behind me and behind you to keep the work going on. And we must keep on building for the future. Right now we're already at capacity everywhere. Right down the street at the corner of Hanley and Clayton, there's a building there on the southwest corner. We are in the process of signing a lease for a floor of one of those buildings because we're out of space. So we must move resolutely ahead in building for the future, in expanding our ability to do the main thing, reaching out for Jesus Christ, in touching others for His sake. I hope that makes sense to you. It really does to me. Besides, when the time does come to replace me, you will want the best possible person available. And what pastor worth his salt will want to come to a church that has no room for growth and development? What top pastor will want to come to a church that says, we're going to sit on our hands? So I pray that we'll keep right on planning and growing and doing. In that regard, let me say a word about your staff here at Central. I believe we have one of the best church teams I have ever seen anywhere in all this country. We have a variety of top people who have a variety of gifts that each of them brings to us, and they are being used to bless this congregation with those gifts through ministry. With or without me, we have the kind of leadership that can keep us moving ahead, staying the course, doing the work of ministry. And here again, I'm proud of the team we have. I have as colleagues men and women who are capable, who know how to lead, who know how to serve, who have vision. And while I like to think that I am an important and integral part of the team, I know very well I'm not absolutely essential to it. Had I built the team on me, I would stand before you this morning a failure. But we didn't do that. We have a team that can function and minister and serve. I would also like to say a word about our officers. I confess that sometimes they have frustrated the daylights out of me. But let me tell you this. Over the years, I've learned to trust their judgment. I didn't always agree with it, but I've learned to trust it. Basically, our officers are outstanding men of good character, of strong leadership, of good conviction. And you can trust them. You can follow them. They will not mislead you. And I urge you down through the years ahead to continue to support them and to give them your trust and your confidence. Fourthly, I want to say a word to you about my personal feelings about my problem. If I had to choose just one word, I would probably choose the word disappointed. There's just so much more I want to do and accomplish, and I may not have as much time to do all of the things that I would like to do, nor have the time to see to completion the things I have put my hand to. And not only that, there's so much that I want to be a part of, and I'm not sure I'll get to see it done. For example, God laid it on my heart to start the work in Argentina, and we are well down that road now. It will be some years before it takes final shape, but it's in process. My frustration right now is I'm going to be operated Tuesday, and I really needed to raise $45,000 before that happened. In Brazil, God laid it on my heart to work with the Presbyterian Church of Brazil in the development of a graduate center for the pastors. And this church, more than any church in our denomination, has supported that. We have Hebert de Campos and his family here, Zeli, working at Concordia. We have Nascimento down in RTS in Jackson. We have some men out in Fuller in California. We have a man coming in to Philadelphia, to Westminster Seminary. The process of training the professors for the Graduate Center is underway. But it's a long way from completion, and I wish I had the assurance that we would complete that. That is a great, great gift. The greatest gift we can give the Presbyterian Church of Brazil is the future education of its pastors. I'd like to see that come into being. But the fact is, were I to die on the operating table Tuesday, or live 50 more years, I hope that whenever the time comes, I will have so many projects going for the Lord that there won't be enough time to finish them all. I pray that I'll always be frustrated, because there's so much work to be done, And I'm not going to be able to finish it all until Jesus comes again. See, I'd like to die working. Fifthly, I want to confess to a lot of emotion. And to say to you that emotion is legitimate. It's okay to feel emotion. We are emotional people. And to pretend we're not is fake. What has happened has been a tremendous shock to Sydney and me. We've had our times to cry, to hold each other. But we want to affirm to you that God is faithful. We feel sustained and loved and supported by Him and by you. We do not despair. We do not faint. Our emotions are legitimate. We think of ourselves as people of the book. People of the book. And the author of the book is faithful and true. He has not failed us. We love Him not because He does what we want or what we like, but we love Him because God is God and He first loved us. We do not know how all of this will fall out. But when the roof tumbles in and we ask ourselves the question, what then? We already know the answer. We know that God is working His promises out, and in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And in that faith and in that confidence, Sydney and I, with Habakkuk, can affirm, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the stall, and no cattle in the pen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Yes, when the roof tumbles in and we ask, what then? We can affirm our faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Let us pray. Father, thank you in the midst of the worst. You are the best. When life tumbles in, there you are. You take us. You hold us. And you lead us. And you guide us. You enable us to go on the heights, and we will rejoice in the Lord, our Savior. Amen.